Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, February the 17th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today must have got a very, very powerful topic, a very, very powerful show scheduled for today. Today we want to talk about the last piece of the puzzle, the last piece of cleronomics, the last piece of the soul. We know that the soul consists of the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. Today we want to talk about the intellect. There are a lot of intellectual gurus out there today. So we want to address these intellectual gurus, these people who oscillate and vibrate in intellectualism. Now, the intellect and intellectualism is a great thing. Don't get me wrong, it's great to have intellect, but unfortunately, the world, the universe is controlled by intellect. If it was, then there would be no people on Skid Row with degrees. I know a lot of people that have a lot of degrees, but they are broke, busted, and disgusted. So it's not the intellect alone that separates the men from the boys. It's the combination, or it's the integration of the selected cleronomic integration. It is a holistic, cleronomic, integrative approach to life that reveals, explains, illuminates, and simplifies, or separates the men from the boys. And this allows you to design a life instead of earn a living. Now, 99.9999999% of us are earning a living. Most of us get up every day and we go earn a living. We do something in order to get something. But intellect, in simple terms, intellect is the ability to use the mind creatively. Intellect also has other definitions, if you will. Intellect is very interesting because intellect alone has its usefulness, but intellect alone does not prepare or design the life. Many people use their intellect to get through life because intellect is very powerful. Intellect has, the voice of intellect is one that allows you to use reason and logic. And this ability to use reason and logic allows you to get through or overstand a lot of different things. But if we continue to listen to our intellect, we'll never have a true, or we will never be able to connect, or we'll never be able to go past, or we'll never be able to identify the true touch tone of the heart. Intellect, reason, and logic interferes with love and compassion. They're supposed to work together, but a lot of times the intellect overrides. And so we'll never have that deep loving connection. We'll never have that deep friendship. We'll never go into that business. We will continue to listen to our intellect because the intellect will always tell us that there is something else that is needed in order to pursue our dreams. So whenever you are inside of your intellect, intellect is designed to make sure that what you are doing is achievable. The intellect is a safeguard. It's built in. The intellect is the thing that straps you in to prevent you from taking risk. See, what worries me about intellect is intellect, although it means well, intellect is the primary ingredient that limits success. Intellect is very dangerous because intellect, again, is the higher voice that overrides the small voice. See, the higher voice overrides that still, soft voice. That's the intellect. It's higher not in the fact that it is better, it's higher in the fact that it is reasonable. Now, the intellect is what the intellect is telling you is true, but that you live, or we can live, and most of us do live in a prison of our own intellect. See, intellect, like your five senses, is not necessarily your friend. Although intellect is needed, intellect is powerful, intellect is useful, but unfortunately, if intellect is not combined with the mind, will, emotion, imagination, if you use intellect alone, and most of us, now remember, today we've been talking about selective cleronomics. We went through each one of the selected cleronomics, which is the soul. Some people only operate in their mind. People ask, what is the difference between the mind and the intellect? The mind and the intellect. So the mind is more spiritual. The intellect is more biological. And it's the understanding of the difference between these two that if you can oscillate and vibrate, it has this ability to assist you. Now, you need the intellect, but unfortunately, you can't be controlled by the intellect. Big difference, my brother. Big difference, my sister. Let me make sure that you over and understand that statement. You need the intellect, but you can't be controlled by the intellect. Let me say that again. You need the intellect, but you cannot be controlled by reason and logic. You need reason and logic, but you cannot allow reason and logic to be the foundation of your decision making. See, intellect forms conclusions using known data. Let me say it again. Intellect forms conclusions using known, past tense, data. Let me say that again. Intellect forms conclusions using known data. So I'm trying to boldly go where no man or woman has gone before. My intellect tells me you can't go there because that's not known. So the intellect tells me travel down the path that has already been blazed. But my spirit tells me make your own path and leave a trail for others to follow. My intellect tells me, hold up, time out, let me check my data. And my intellect scans my brain, and the intellect tells me there is no previous experience doing what you're trying to do, brother. So my intellect told me, don't start the Eagles Club 20 years ago because nobody is combining spirit and science, at least not the majority of people. The majority of people are either spiritual or the majority of the people are either scientific or science. So science got their lane, spirituality and religion got their lane, the twain shall never meet. But my gut, my spirit, the Ruach and the Pneuma led me, my life path told me that you can combine spirit and science. My intellect says, no, you cannot. So if I would have listened to my intellect, I would not be doing today's show. If I listen to my intellect comes to its conclusion using known data. My intuition forms its conclusion using multidimensional data that is absent from this plane. Let me say that again. This is the difference between success and failure. Yesterday, I did one of the most profound shows, and everybody's life was changed. And I told everybody to write down February the 16th of 2017. That will be a day that you'll remember for the rest of your life, because that's the day that you found out why you cannot get outside of your box. And everybody knows why they're in their box now. Now everybody has a problem that they need to solve, and that is nobody has a reason to be wealthy. Nobody has a reason. Nobody has a compelling reason to be wise. Nobody has a compelling reason. Nobody has a reason that you can go and you can take to the key maker of your conscience, and you don't have the key to unlock the door to get out of the prison of your intellect. And until you have a key to unlock the door, you will stay a prisoner of your intellect. You cannot operate in your intuition. You cannot operate in what I call mental telepathy. You cannot operate, again, as I said before, what language does God speak? What color is God? What nationality and what race is God? And so you cannot, because your intellect cannot form a conclusion of God, because the intellect has no known data of God. So therefore, you cannot operate in your intellect. You got to operate in your intuition. You got to operate in your spirit. You got to operate in the Ruach. You got to operate in the Pneuma. You got to operate in quantum consciousness. You got to operate in super consciousness. You got to operate in Christos consciousness. And since you're not doing that, you don't have access to the multidimensional level that is absent on this dimension. Therefore, you are forming your argument. You are basing your position on the experiences that you had. And since you do what you have already done, you will always have what you already have. So you cannot have the mind that created the problem cannot be used to solve the problem. You got to use a mind that you don't have. And your intellect will not let you have that mind, because the intellect says that mind is not known. You don't know the mind of God. The Bible says, what man knows the mind of God? The Bible says that your ways are not like my ways. Your thoughts are not like my thoughts. And so until you can get out of your intellect and oscillate and vibrate, as I talked about before, in the sixth sense, that gives you access to the seventh heaven, a multidimensional level of quantum or super consciousness. consciousness. That's where the big G lives. There is no mediator except mental telepathy. So without operating in mental telepathy, but without operating in your spiritual intuition, the Bible says, walk in the spirit and you cannot and you will not live in the flesh. So in order to get out of your intellect, flesh, you got to oscillate in your spirit intuition. But your brain does not know, it cannot formulate that because it's not known data. And so we all have the same conundrum, and that is we are intellectual gurus. And your intellect will always tell you, we can't go there, brother. So we're all overwhelmed by our intellect. So your intellect, although it is great and you need it, your intellect has to be balanced along with your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and then the intellect comes in. Notice the intellect is the last piece of the puzzle because it's the least important. Notice the intellect is the last piece of the puzzle because the intellect is the least important, although it is the most, it is the one that we use the most. See, when we talk about understanding the intellect, we have to be very careful because the most thought-provoking definition of intellect and intelligence, I read this quote by this Swami guy, what was his name, Swami something, I forgot his last name. He said something I thought was very interesting. He said, intelligence is built by gaining information, knowledge, from external forces or agencies like schools and universities, from teachers, from textbooks, intelligence. And so intelligence is the gathering together of information, knowledge, from external sources. And then Swami said that the intellect is developed through individual effort by exercising the faculty of questioning, thinking, and reasoning the gathering of that information. So the intellect is different from intelligence. And so understanding that the intellect does not admit reason and logic. So there's a difference between the two. So the amount of intelligence gained builds the amount of intellect that is retained. Now, the Swami didn't say that. That's what I've determined. The amount of intelligence gained determines the amount of intellect that is retained. So if you have not gathered or gained no intelligence, no facts, you ain't been to school. If you haven't been to no university, you haven't talked to no Reverend Dr. Bishops, you haven't read no textbooks, if you haven't gathered no facts, no information, then your ability to reason, think about, ponder those facts, that leads to the amount of intelligence or the amount of intellect that you have. So intellect is the reasoning aspect of intelligence. So intellect and intelligence is actually different. So you can have somebody that has a lot of intelligence, bunch of information, but they don't got no intellect. They can't put that information together. So intelligence and intellect are two different things, and they are needed. But unfortunately, they will not make you wealthy, healthy, wise, and they will not help you in the area of a great relationship unless they're combined with the other four pieces. So many people live in the space of their intellect, using the information that they gathered with their intelligence. And they are making reasonable and logical systems based upon known data. And so now I come to you today, and I'm telling you, do something that you don't know by using what you know. What does that mean? Go into your past. I was talking to a client yesterday, and this is profound. And I told him, as I've said before, your cash is in your past. So if you want cash, go to your past. And I gave him biblical references. I talked about Jonah. I talked about Daniel. I talked about the three Hebrew boys. I talked about Samuel. But the most important one I talked about was Moses. So, like you, Moses was raised an Egyptian. And then Moses left and he hung out with the Midians and became a shepherd of Midian. Moses spent 40 years as Egyptian. He spent 40 years out in the desert. And then God sent Moses right back to where Moses left. Like Moses, you spent, well, let me use my own life, like Moses. I spent a lot of time in business. I spent a lot of time in religion, licensed and ordained minister. I spent a lot of time in health and fitness. And I spent 25 years, a lot of time in a relationship. Then I left all four of those. And I went into the world. And I said, bump and forget self-help and self-improvement and wealth. I said, forget health, forget wisdom, and forget relationships. And I left. And I started doing my own thing. And then I had an experience on January the 1st of 2009, and then God sent me right back to Egypt, where I came from. So, what do you think God going to do to you? God takes you through the experience of something before he gives you the knowledge of something. So you've been through blank, that's Egypt. And then you go out to the desert, that's Midian. That's where Moses hung out with the tents of with Jethro, and he met one of Jethro's daughters, and he married, and he became a Bedouin, or he became a shepherd, and he hung out, and he thought that was his calling. And then he saw this fire that wasn't a fire on top of a mountain, and he said, let me go check out this fire. And then Moses went up there, and then God said, you know the story, take off the shoes off your feet, for the ground that you are standing up on is holy ground. He said, Moses, you got a call on your life, homie, because you know how it feels to be an Egyptian. But you was a Hebrew. And so Moses didn't understand. He said, like, how am I going to go back and talk to the people that used to be my brothers and tell them to let these people go? Then God told Moses, you're the only one that's qualified to talk to them. You know how they think. So you used to be an alcoholic, right? You used to drink alcohol, and now you're sober. You say, what you think your calling is? Nobody knows how it feels to be an alcoholic but you. You used to be an alcoholic. So you go back and you help other alcoholics get off alcohol. Or you used to be hooked on porn. What do you think your calling is going to be? Or you used to smoke the Mary Jane. It ran your life. You couldn't do nothing until you smoked a joint. What do you think you're going to be doing? So whatever your addiction is, whatever demon that had you bound, that you broke free of that bondage, Egypt represents bondage. What was your bondage, brother? What was your bondage, sister? But your intellect is going to tell you, because you know you barely got out, and you barely standing on your own two feet. So your intellect is going to tell you, don't go back to Egypt, brother. Your intellect is going to tell you, don't go back. And so we got to override our intellect, because the intellect was given to us so that way we could use it to assist us. So this intellectual intuitive mind is a sacred gift. And we have to understand, how do we use this sacred gift that was given to us? So the intellect is the foundation on which the building blocks of intelligence can be based upon to assist the mind, the will, the emotion, and the imagination in building and designing a successful and a practical life. But the intellect alone will make you and help you earn a living. The intellect alone cannot help you design a life. And the reason why you are earning a great living today is because you've built your intellect on the continuous process of thoughts, ideals, and feedback. And so you have made a great living for yourself by being very intellectual. But you cannot design your life because you have left your mind, your will, your emotion, and your imagination. Your intellect doesn't allow the imagination to come in because the intellect says, we don't want all that creativity stuff out here. The intellect says, we got a system, brother, and it already works. So we understand that you got an ideal, but ideals are not welcome. Intellect is structure. If you are an 8, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the eight, this is you right here. If you're life past eight, you're an intellectual guru. Your whole life is based upon intellect. If you're a seven, you got intelligence. So this message is for all of the sevens and all of the eights out there who oscillate and vibrate in their intellect. And they can't step out and do nothing creative because they're trained. See, training the intellect does not result in intelligence. Intelligence comes from using the other aspects of the soul along with the intellect. Intellect is setting aside all of the other aspects of the soul and operating only in reason and logic. Intellect says, I have no experience in the past to justify this behavior in the future. That's intellect. See, your intellect is always confused by your emotions. The intellect doesn't understand emotional people. I like talking to eights and sevens. Because eights and sevens, you know the worst thing that you can do is be an emotional person and be in a relationship with a person who's a seven or an eight. Because when you go on your emotional tirade, they're going to look at you like you on drugs. They don't understand the state of your disunion. Now, if anybody is in a relationship with a seven or an eight, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the intellect of a seven or an eight is structured that it structures out activity and emotion. That's just the way that they're designed. That's why they're so effective. Because the intellect, remember, forms its conclusions on known data. The intellect doesn't go and use outside data. The data has to be previously experienced in order for the person who is very intellectual. So an intellectual person understands constructs. They understand patterns and procedures, intellect. See, the intellect is the faculty of reasoning and understanding what your intelligence has gathered. So the intellect, now, if you have no intelligence, so what does your intellect use to formulate its decisions? So you are a seven or a eight, and you're using your intellect, but you never went to school, you never went to college, you don't have no experiences. So you are basing your reasoning and your logic. You are basing your understanding on known data, but ain't nothing in the bank. You don't got nothing. So what? Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. Because there's somebody that's listening to me, and you're basing your life decisions on known data. Now, the data must be known. Now, the word known means recognized. It means familiar. It means that it's something that has prior. It means that it is a particle of knowledge that has been previously engaged in and understood. So an intellect uses intelligence. That means well known. So let's say you're 21 and you are a 7 on 8. So how much life experiences do you have, brother? How much life experiences do you have? So you're going into your bag of tricks and you're pulling out known facts that you read in a book or that you've experienced or that some kind of way it makes you familiar. Maybe you have a genetic, something that's passed down, you got a familiar spirit. So an intellect person only operates according to the family lawyer, that familiar. Family liar. So there's a family liar, that disposition that's telling the intellectual person, this is our family history. Everybody in your family cut the ham, the both ends of the ham off. You're an intellectual person, you never ask the question, hey, why do we cut both ends of the ham off? Now, you guys heard the story before, right? Lady asked her, Mom, why do we cut both ends of the ham off for Thanksgiving? And the mother said, I don't know. My mother taught me how to do that. So they go to the grandmother. Grandma, why do we cut both ends of the ham off? Grandmother said, I don't know. My mother taught me. So they go ask the great-grandmother. The great-grandmother, the daughter goes ask the great-grandmother, why do we cut both ends of the ham off? The great-grandmother says, child, because the ham was too big to fit in the pan. So 100 years ago, when the great, great, grandmother's mother didn't have a pan that was big enough to put the ham in. She cut both ends of the ham off so that the ham could fit. A person who is an 8 or a 7 will never question why are we cutting both ends of the ham off. Their intellect has a system in place that works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So they continue to roll. But somebody like me that's a 3, I'm going to ask, hey, why y'all cutting the ham off? Your boy go over there and sit down and shut up. And I ask questions that other people don't think about asking. So why y'all asking why? Why ain't everybody asking why? Because if you're a 7 or 8, you got a pattern. You got a system. You got a structure. You got order. And it's working. We put the ham in the pan. Now you can buy a pan 50 times size of the ham. You ain't got no meat. There's no reason to cut off the both ends of the ham. You're just wasting food. But nobody asked the freaking question because known data. That data says that we cut both ends of the ham off because the pan was too small. Well, now we can just buy a bigger pan. How about we just don't cut the ham no more? No, we're going to continue with what we've been doing, brother. Because based upon the facts that I've been doing, my grandmother's grandmother's grandmother, we all cut both ends of the ham off. That's known. I'm familiar with cutting in both ends of the ham off, brother. So we're going to keep cutting. Well, you know that we can buy a bigger pan, right? No, I have established a system. So I have a fixed memory. It's fixed. It's fixed, F-I-X-E-D, intellect. Intellect is fixed. It doesn't allow room for new creative ideals to come in. Intellect says, I have knowledge, and my knowledge and my perception is facts, brother. What you got knowledge of? Well, I got knowledge, brother. What's your knowledge, brother? I got knowledge that Buddha is the only God. I got knowledge that Hare Krishna. I got knowledge. I researched. I read the Bhagavad Gita, and Shiva is it, homie. Nope. I got knowledge, and I believe that Lucifer is it. Because I've researched, and I got cognitive knowledge. I got known facts, brother, and I'm not letting nothing in. Yeah, but you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, 10, that says that if you don't have a love of truth, the word truth means aletheia. Aletheia means objectivity. Aletheia means that you are objective. Aletheia means that you are willing to entertain new facts. No, brother, I ain't willing to enter because I got an intellect. And my intelligence tells me, based upon what I've researched in the past, because the intellect only used past information. The intellect does not allow new information. So we got new information that says that now the mind can mold matter. It's called moldable or plasma physics. It's called neuroplasticity. It's called neurogenesis. But an intellectual person say, hell no, that's new information, brother. I'm not interested in no new information. I need known facts, past tense. See, the intellect keeps you in your cage. So 99.9999999% of us, we're in a prison of our own freaking intellect because we're not using our mind, our will, our emotion. And the number one thing you've got to have is your imagination, because imagination precedes creation. The reason why you're not creative is because you don't have no imagination, because you're too intellectual. Because your intellect says, no, I cannot imagine a flying cat. Cats don't fly. Well, I'm a 3. I can imagine a flying cat. Put a freaking parachute on that sucker, throw him out the tree, and let him fly. See, I'm creative. I can imagine attaching an apparatus to any animal and throwing him out there, throw him out of a plane, the same way we jump out, and he's flying. But an intellectual person is like, I can't. Let me see. Why would you put a parachute on a cat? I don't know. You just asked the question, can cats fly? Yes. Because you did not tell me the parameters by which they fly. I didn't say that they got to have wings to fly. You didn't say. You just said, can you formulate a way for a cat to fly? Yes, I can. My creativity will allow me to do that. And 8 will just automatically say cats cannot fly. Why? Known facts. I've never seen a cat fly. Me neither. But I can make him fly. Now, you didn't say how long. If he only flies for 30 seconds, that's flying to me. See, if you don't know the definitions of the terms and you ask me, hey, Brother Will, can you do this? You know what I'm going to say? Yes. The only word I got in my vocabulary is yes. That's the only word. That's why I'm a dangerous person, because sometimes I get my I'm two three-ish because all of my numbers are threes. I got threes, I got sixes, and I got nines. They're all threes. So when somebody say, "Hey, Brother Will, can you buy a house with no money, no credit?" Yes. Brother Will, can you be? Yes. I don't even wait till the question is finished. So people come up to me and they say, "Brother Will, I got a problem." Yes. Their problems don't exist. Well, no, you haven't even heard the problem. I don't care what the problem is. I got an answer. Just bring it on. Well, brother, you might want to listen to the problem first. I was telling you guys, I had a client last night. I was talking to him, and he had all these problems. By the end of our 1 hour consultation, he had no more problems. Because I'm not a seven. I'm not an eight. I'm a three. I'm a six, and I'm a nine. That's just a bunch of threes. This is all I do. So every morning I wake up, I see the glass half full. Now that's good and bad, because most people who are looking for solutions, as I've learned, don't want them. Let me let you know the secret. Most people who are asking questions don't want answers. Let me say that again. 99.9999999% of the people, they want to have the illusion that they want to be successful to appease their own conscience. But that core imprint, Negro, you ain't shiznit. Get back in that box. Yowza mazza. That's what's going on in the prison of your intellect. See, the prison of your intellect says what is known. What's known? $10 an hour. I know I can make $10 an hour because I've had 50-plus jobs that pays me $10 an hour. So the moment I go and apply for a job that pays $14 an hour, the prisoner of my intellect says, like, oh, hold up, time out. Dude, are you awake? What are you applying for a $14 an hour job? Do you understand? That's not known. You're not qualified. Get back in your $10 an hour box. And no matter what I do, I will sabotage. I'm going to show up late. I'm going to blow the interview. My brain will automatically sabotage. I will get in front of the interview, and I'll ask that question, so why do you want this job? Zoop, brain goes blank. Now, I've stayed up all night studying. Went through every possible question that they could ask me in the interview. Memorized everything. Get to the job, and as soon as they ask me a question that's outside of my box and my core imprint, my brain, the intellect, is going to say, let's scan the computer. Never had a job paying $14 an hour before. Shut this down. Zoop. Brain goes blank. Unless you've already overrode that core imprint. Unless you've already replaced that mechanism, that negative habit pattern. How do you replace it? By rote memory. By doing what? By using a success mechanism. By saying, I have a reason for this $14 an hour job. I got bills. I got family. I got car payments. And you just list all of the reasons why. And you say that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until you build up your faith, until you change your self-image, until now you're not going to go get a $14 an hour job. Somebody going to come up to you and offer you one. You can sit at home and somebody going to call you and say, hey, I don't know, man, I just had this idea. You know, you got a resume? I got an opening. I need somebody to do this. They will find you. You don't go get wealth. Money finds you. See, when you are vibrating on a, when you are a vibrational match for wealth, when you are a vibrational match for health, when you are a vibrational match for wisdom, when you are a vibrational match for a great relationship, guess what? You do nothing but vibrate. How do you vibrate? Think. How do you think? Close your eyes, sit in a chair, and just go over in your brain with a mental picture in your head. See that image in your head. If you cannot see it in your head, you cannot have it in your life. If you cannot see it in your head, you cannot have it in your life. And what part of the soul do you need to use, brother? Not your intellect, your imagination. You need to use your will. You need to use your emotion. You need to use your mind. You need to leave your intellect on the shelf, brother. The only time you need your intellect is after you've already done it. And then you use your intellect to continue to do it. You bring the intellect and say, hey, I got some known facts for your intellect. Guess what? I got a $14 an hour job. I used to only have a $10 an hour one. Now, intellect, I can use you. And the intellect comes in and says, oh, yeah, we can, hey, time for us to go to work. Now the intellect shows up. Now the intellect says, hey, my self-image can be improved. Now the intellect is needed. Now you can tell the intellect, hey, Mr. Intellectual, this is what I need you to do. I need you to gather some intelligence. See, the intellect is your intelligence. It makes you intelligent. So your intellect is the ability to be intelligent or intelligence. See, intelligence is the ability to acquire and apply. See, acquire and apply. Acquire and apply. Acquire and apply. What? Knowledge and skills. See, intelligence is the part of you that makes you brilliant. But the intelligence is the last part of the soul for a reason, because intelligence is the collection of information. So we got five pieces of the soul, and we're going to bring it all together on tomorrow's show when I talk about how we bring all five pieces of the puzzle so that way we have holistic cleronomics instead of selective cleronomics. Right now, you're using one or two aspects of the soul. Now, I've broken down and we've talked about, I've been using myself as an example, and I talked about how I primarily use my will and my imagination. Those are the aspects of my soul that I am pro. Yeah. Nobody can touch me in those two areas. But my mind, my emotion, and my intellect, I left them suckers at home. Now I realize that, hold up, time out. I need my mind. Sometimes it's good to have a little emotion. And it's okay. Sometimes I have to gather facts. See, I use willpower to be intelligent, meaning I use brute force to go out and increase my mental capacity. So I gather. Now, I'm a researchologist. What if I could use my intelligence, the ability to learn and understand new situations, the ability to apply knowledge to one's environment? See, I use spirit. I don't use knowledge. When I am in an environment, I survey that environment, and I use my spirit, my mind, to survey that environment. I don't use my intelligence or my intellect. So what if I could use, because I have a lot of known facts, what if I could use my intellect? That is my mental power, my intellect. That means I can take my reason and my logic, and I can look at all of my experiences, my known facts. And so when I meet somebody, I get to know them by their frequency, not my experience. But what if I used, and I meet you, and you give me a vibe? So I'm a vibe guy. So I meet you, I don't listen to what you say. You tell me, hey, I got experience, you know, I've done this and I've done that. So if I'm interviewing somebody, if I'm in my group and somebody tells me, hey, Brother Will, I know how to do this, I say, really? That's awesome, brother. But I got a vibe that says they don't. So you can tell me all the stuff that you know how to do. If I got a vibe, I'm not gonna work with you. Why? Because I'm a spiritual person. I'm a metaphysical person. I don't use logic. I don't use reason. I don't use facts. You come to me, you got a resume that says you can type 40 words a minute. I got a vibe that says you can't type 40 words a minute. I ain't gonna hire you. You can sit on the computer on your type machine and you can type 40 words a minute. But my vibe tells me that something's off. I'm not hiring you. I don't use my intelligence at all. I leave it at the door. But sometimes I need that intelligence, because even though the person's vibe may be off, I can use the intelligence to go with my vibe and give this person a second chance or a shot, meaning that the person now is making a change and they are getting out of their box. I'm sensing the old box because they haven't made the transition to the new box. Instead of me helping that person get out of their box, leading and guiding them into helping them to develop the self-worth and the self-confidence, I cut them off. Because I say, this dude doesn't want to work. Now, with my old Eagles Club, that's the mistake I made. There was a lot of great people in the old Eagles Club. And I said, these people don't want to grow. Why? I got the vibe that they didn't want to grow. So what did I do? I cut them off. How did I cut them off? I took my energy out. What does that mean? That means I put my focus and my discipline into other people, into other areas. Because the people were growing, but maybe I didn't use my reason and logic to see that they was growing, that they just was not growing at my speed and at my pace. And so reason and logic helps you to look at things differently when it's combined with the other areas of the soul, so that way you can make better choices and better decisions. And just because somebody don't have the same willpower that you got, and just because somebody don't have the same imagination that you got, doesn't mean that they are flawed vessels. Doesn't mean that they don't want to work. Doesn't mean that they don't want to grow. Doesn't mean that you just discard them. Because what if somebody comes along and they don't have my two strengths, which is willpower and imagination? What if they are very emotional and they're very intelligent, but I'm very willpower and very imaginative? So the person who's very emotional and very intelligent say, hey, Brother Will, he ain't got no emotion, and he's not intelligent, I can't work with him. But hey, man, I really want to. I want the job. I want to try to be more emotional. I want to try to be more intelligent, but nah, I ain't got time, brother. So I have to be more holistic with dealing with myself and with dealing with people, and so do you. The purpose of this entire series, and this is part 6, we've got one more part to go. So part 7, I'm going to tie, how do we tie all of these 5 pieces together? That's what I've learned. Because the father says, son, you're a master teacher, you're great, dude, you're off the chain. However, you're not operating holistically. Father, are you sure you're talking? Now, this is Dr. Will Rogers. You sure you got the right dude? Because, you know, I can walk on water. And they, I think you've been reading your own press clippings. Sit your behind down and learn. So I had to put myself in time out. And what I'm learning and what I am learning is the same thing I'm telling you. The reason that I'm not growing is because of the fact that I am not vibrating and operating on all 5 senses. And so, therefore, I cannot activate my 6th sense, so that way I can get access to the 7th heaven. So right now, you're using your 5 senses. And I'm not talking about smell, taste, and eyes. I'm talking about the 5 parts of the soul: mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect. And we need to start using all 5 senses. Because we're not using, I think I said y'all was, what I meant to say is that we're not. We are not, let me rephrase that, we are not using our 5 elements of our soul. And let me be more specific, I am not using the 5 elements of my soul. And so the Father is telling me the reason that you can't stay in the spirit is because you are not operating with the 5 pieces of your soul. Because your spirit uses your soul to control your body. And so you need your spirit. But the spirit is driving a car that has 5 cylinders, but you're only using 2. So the spirit cannot be totally engaged. And as I talked about before, if you are in the spirit, this is how you know you're in the spirit. You can't sit down. You have trouble sleeping. You are very high strung. You piss people off all the time. Because you are in spiritus. God is spirit. God said that he is spirit. God didn't say that he created spirit. Let's understand. This is hard for me because I've been dumbing myself down all my life. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm sorry. I can't do that anymore. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. I can't do that anymore. No longer able to do that. What does that mean? John chapter 4, verse 23. John 4, verse 23 says, "But a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as these to worship him." Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of every person that's listening to the sound of my voice. Father, let your spirit go through me and into your people and change every neuron in their brain and rewire the surface of every cell in their body so that their cell receptors can recept and can receive what thus says the word of the true King. In the name that is above every name. Brothers and sisters, God is spirit. He didn't create it. He is it. So if you are in spiritas, that means you're in God. Now, I don't know if you understand, but right now my whole body is like tingling, just vibrating, just talking about it. That's why I can't talk about it that much. I can't. I cannot really talk about spiritual things to normal people because they, normal people, don't understand my testimony because they have not went through my test. So they don't understand my praise. They think I'm crazy. So I can't go around average people because average people don't understand my spirit. Because if you got the spirit of the universe inside of you, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, man. You mean to tell me the spirit of the known universe that's unlimited is outside of space and time and you bored. You ain't got no ideals. You're at home watching the freaking basketball wires. Are you at home and you don't know, you broke, busted, and disgusted, but you full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, man. Come on. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but I don't know what spirit you got, but this is the one I got. I gotta be very careful because my brain doesn't turn off, man. It don't turn off. This idea is flowing. I can't write fast enough. I cannot do enough shows. I cannot talk fast enough. It's like I've drunken 15 cups of coffee. That's how I feel all day, every day. People around me, man, that's why I got the – I purposely don't hang around people because everybody that I talk to, they're like, damn, that dude is around a little tight, man. Now, this is the toned-down version. Could you imagine if I, like, was authentic and I just, like, was real? And I just like came to the table. If I came to your house and I was the real me, I don't know, man. I don't think you guys can handle it. I couldn't handle it. Because God is spirit. John 4:23 says, "The time is coming, and now is that time, when the true worshipers will worship," that means work for, "the Father in spirit and in truth." Those are the only two requirements. In spirit. And in truth. Truth means objectivity. Please look it up. Please. So you mean to tell me you're working for the spirit of truth and you ain't got no objectivity. A dude walk up to you and he said that he believes in Satan and he drinks blood. And you say, "Well, I can't, you scared of him." And you're like, "I don't want to talk to him." And he comes to him and says, "Hey, yeah, I fondle little babies." And that just pisses you off. You're just like, "Man, that is nasty, dude. How in the world?" And you know what I would do is like, I would say, "Why?" It would be the first thing out of my mouth. "Why do you do that, man? Why does it make you feel good?" "Well, because, you know, how did you develop that appetite? And how do you think it makes the little child feel? And how old are you? You 30, 40, and you got a child? I'm going to reason, and I'm going to talk to this dude. And I'm going to use my 7 whys. And by the time we finish that conversation, that fool's brain is going to be rewired. Because my spirit is going to go into his spirit and override it. Because I got the biggest gun. There ain't no gun bigger than mine. Because I got the biggest G. So that fool got a little G. For his brain to think that that's cool, to go in and molest little babies, obviously, he's serving a lesser entity. So that means the entity I got is stronger than the entity he has got. So I'm going to use my entity to override his entity. That's how the universe works. So the universe is controlled by the biggest guns. And so when you get the biggest gun, you can go into other, I don't care what guns, what G's. So when I walk into a room, I know I got the biggest gun. So I know that my spirit, my vibe is going to change the room everywhere I go. Nobody, not because other people got the same gun, but it ain't bigger than mine. It's the same as mine. But I ain't met a person yet that got a bigger gun than mine. So when you know that, don't believe it, when you know that, you walk into the valley of shadow and death and you fear no evil. So you go into the lion's den and you do exactly what Daniel did. You just glazed up into the sky and you just say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And your emotional state doesn't exist. So somebody walk up to you and call you out your name, cut you out in traffic, spit in your face, what do? You up? Me? What I'm going to do? Why did you do that, man? I want to know. What makes you think you got the right? Well, you are a nigger, and I'm a white man. My family used to own you. Why did your family own me? Because your skin is black and you inferior. Why do you think that my skin being black makes you inferior? I'm going to talk to this dude, and I'm going to use my verbal and linguistical skills to slice and dice him. And by the time we finished, that fool going to be about 2 feet tall because my spirit is greater and stronger than his. Because I read John 4:24. Because John 4:24 says God is spirit, and he and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it say nothing about no demonstration. It say nothing about no fear. And say nothing about no fables. It says spirit and truth. Those are the two requirements to change disposition. So as long as you are oscillating and vibrating in spirit and in truth. And what is spirit? Spirit is the vital principle that animates the body. So you are a spirit that has possession of a soul that manifests itself through a body. But if you understand that you are a spirit that has possession of a soul that manifests through, and God gave you that spirit, brother, where does the spirit come from? Do you know the spirit is a group of related thoughts? So you can have a spirit of alcohol. People say, well, Brother Will, I don't believe that. And I love when Cretans tell me that, because I say, where do you think I got that, brother? I got it out of your Bible. And then people tell me, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Really? Okay, let's talk biology. Oh, you're a biology guy? You're a Luciferian? You know, you Wicca? Didn't you practice and you worship the earth? You worship nature? Let's talk nature. Do you know what a neural net is, brother? And then I break it down for them biologically. Oh, maybe they don't believe in biology. Maybe they believe in the ancient texts, non-canonized stuff. Oh, okay, well, we can use the Bahavita. How about the Book of Creation? How about we read that book? How about we break it down for you? And what am I breaking down for them? The same thing I'm breaking down for you, brothers and sisters. It's for you to under, over, and understand. You don't go get one. You don't buy one. You don't go. You are one. And since you are a spirit, you might want to over, under, and understand what that means. Now, a spirit is what some people call consciousness. It is a principle that comes from purpose. This principle animates things. It is a medium of exchange. It is an incorporeal. Cookie blow right there, that word, incorporeal. Like when I was in the military, one of the ranks is a corporal. So you are a corporal. So a spirit is one of those things, except it is an incorporeal. Now the word corporeal means substance. So incorporeal means no material substance. It means a non-material being. It means without material existence. Hold a timeout. It means it existed, it only exists in contemporary law. That means that a spirit, again, is something that exists in what is it called, a thoughtful observation. Now, we're out of time. I don't have time to break down it in vivid detail or didactically like I would like to. But I need you to understand, I need you to overstand that you are a non-material entity who is playing around in a material world. So that means that you are a conscious life force who has a controller called a soul that is playing a game called chemistry or life. So if you think that this physical life is real, you have been deceived. So you telling me, and you're thinking about it, you're focusing on physical stuff. So you're telling me, Brother Will, I feel bad because I physically did this. I'm not concerned with the physical stuff. But you don't understand, Brother Will, I did a bad physical thing. Okay, why did you do a bad physical thing? What animated your physicality? What caused you to do a physical thing? What is the cause, brother? Don't tell me the effect. Let's talk about the cause. What causes you to be poor? What causes you to be sick? What causes you to be ignorant? What causes you to be in a bad relationship? What causes you? What is the cause, brother? What is the cause? What is the cause? Because the cause, brother, the cause is the soul. And the soul is cleronomics. That means that you're not managing. Cleronomics is the household management of the soul. Cleronomics is the supernatural incorporeal management. So you're not managing your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. So if you ain't managing it, who is? I know. His name is Lucifer. So Lucifer, like it says in the book of Romans, is responsible for your behavior. Lucifer. Now, you can do what everybody always tells me. So, Brother Will, that means that I'm not responsible for my behavior. I'm going to blame Lucifer. I'm going to stand before God and say, God, Lucifer made me do it. Then God will say, well, I gave you power over Lucifer. That means you are an absentee manager. Guilty. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. So God gave you responsibility over your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and your intellect. And you're going to tell God, well, God, I watched TV, and the TV told me to go take my money and buy me some Air Jordans. And God said, no, I gave you that money to invest in this. Well, I was influenced. Guilty. Because God is going to say, didn't I give you a spirit? The spirit is your consciousness. It's that sixth sense. It's that still, small voice. It's that thing that says, don't do that. And you overrode your spirit with your mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect. That's supposed to be used to help the spirit, to control the body. So if you don't have control of the body, it's because you don't have control over the soul. If you don't have control of the soul, it's because your spirit has been hijacked with another spirit. And so that means that there, instead of a spirit, you got a sprite. Notice the similarity between the word spirit and the word sprite. Do you know that the spirit is a sprite? Sprite is an elf, a fairy, or a goblin. Do you know that a sprite means a spirit, or in Latin, spiritus? A sprite means spiritus. A spirit, or in spiritus. That's what we're talking about. So the word spirit and the word sprite are the same thing in Latin. Why do you think they have all the sprite commercials? Remember that one that they did with old boy that opened up and his body would open up, Drake? Now they got LeBron James doing a sprite commercial. Why sprite? And you're drinking the sprite in Latin. What does it mean in Latin, though? Spiritus, or spiritus, which means spirit. So you're drinking in a spirit. Do you know sugar is a spirit? What is the spirit? So let's say you eat a bunch of sugar, you get the spirit. Now, there are plant-based entities. I work with a client right now. I can bring him on the show and he can tell you they are real. Them suckers take over your body. So what is tobacco? I'm just putting this out there. For GP, what is tobacco, brother? So you smoke cigarettes, and you develop a habit, and you got this habit that you have a appetite, and this habit releases a chemical that forces you to go pick up a cigarette, and you will cross land and sea to find a cigarette and smoke it. Why? You know what the difference of what habit is? So you got a negative habit pattern. Let me close with this, because otherwise, y'all know I talk till Jesus come back. The word habit means acquired behavioral pattern. You already got a pattern, but you acquired. Now, remember, a spirit is a behavioral pattern. A spirit. Now, God gave you his spirit, but you replace his spirit with another spirit. You call it a habit. You call it an addiction. You call it an appetite. So I can have an appetite. Now, an appetite means something that you cannot withstand. It means it comes over you, and it takes over. It is an addiction. Now, a habit isn't an addiction. Now, an addiction is a state of being enslaved. Oh, where's Egypt? Here's Egypt. Egypt is a cigarette. Egypt is a marijuana plant. Egypt is a freaking sour grape. Egypt is sugar cane. Egypt is porno. Egypt is any habit that enslaves your spirit, because a state is a mental disposition that replaces yours. A mental disposition that enslaves your soul. You are possessed by a sour grape. Now, what's animating your body? An addiction is something that animates the body. What's a spirit? A spirit is something that animates the body. You're supposed to have the spirit of God that animates the body for love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. But you got another spirit, and it animates the body for an addiction to a sour grape called alcohol. Or to a leaf called nicotine. Or to a piece of sugar cane called Krispy Kreme donuts. What's your addiction, brother? That is the thing that controls the soul that animates the body. Until you get rid of that, all the intellectual capacity that you got is not going to be of any good. Your soul must be controlled by the right spirit. I don't know why I'm doing tomorrow's message, but hey, that's the intro for tomorrow's message. So, brothers and sisters, we all have intellect. Intellect is designed to be utilized with the mind, the will, the emotion, and the imagination. This power that you have, right now you have this power to facilitate all of your past known experiences into a system that will take you in the direction of your God-given purpose. But your intellect, this is your intellectual capacity to use your past experience to discern and to perceive and to understand, so that way you can assist your mind, your will, your emotion, and your imagination to fulfill your God-given destiny. Don't allow your intelligence and your intellect to limit your perception and your discernment, because it is totally based upon past experience. Make sure that you are using your intellect to assist you with stepping out of what is known, so that way you can experience the unknown. Make sure that your intellectual capacity, your discernment, your perception, your understanding, your ability to discern is not just only based upon known data, but you're allowing your mind and your will and your emotion and your imagination to use this processing power to take you in the direction of your goal. Your intellect is a powerful, powerful apparatus. Make sure that you're using it not to keep you in your box, but to help you get out of your box. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Willa Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert you, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs. give it to him for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your Inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acne, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.